This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Don't we all need a lullaby or some nice soothing music? Well, this gentleman has produced it, and he's done it specially for us right at this moment. Hugh, are you there?
I am, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. So, Hugh, give us your background. Tell us who you are, and you're obviously a composer, and tell us, where did it all start from? The interest in music, you know, like, were you a kid liking to play music, or did it come a bit later in life?
Oh, yes, no, very early for me. Music has always been kind of a special place for me. As a child, it was I was just always very drawn to it. I wouldn't say I was attracted to it. I feel like it was more like a calling, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. And you know, so were you learning music as a kid? You're like, or you pushed into it, or did you find it yourself?
Well, I was learning music as a kid. I had a long-running battle with my parents about which instrument I should be playing. I was, as a very young child, for a long time on my Christmas wish list was a drum kit that went unfulfilled for many years.
I don't blame them.
I know. Like, you can kind of see their side of things, but I do feel like I was always deprived the opportunity to be the next Buddy Rich, although I'm not sure it would have ever happened. Certainly, was given the opportunity to learn piano very early, which I'm very grateful for, because I think that you're really very hard pressed to find a better instrument to start on than the piano. It's sort of got everything you need.
Absolutely.
And then at a later stage, after, many early Sunday mornings on the bicycle delivering papers, a drum kit did become involved. it still lives with me in my apartment, and I enjoy playing that as a relaxation activity. Yeah, there'd be a great many hours work if I wanted to reach the heights of Buddy Rich. I leave that to the professionals like David Jones and people like that these days, you know.
Yeah. So composing, where did that come along for you?
Similarly, reasonably early, my mum tells this story of when I would go along to music lessons with Mrs. Henderson down the road. Mrs. Henderson was a music teacher. And
is she still alive? Yeah, she's still alive.
I'm not sure. Like, she probably is. I don't think she was.
Oh, she wasn't a really old lady at the time. No.
She wasn't a really old. I mean, she felt pretty old at the time, but that was, you know, like, if I looked at myself these days from that age, I'd probably think I was pretty old too, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You probably thought she was old and she was 30.
Yeah. In hindsight, she was very young, like, you know, positively full of life.
Oh, good on her. Good on her.
But there's this story that my mom tells of her having expressed just sort of a bit of frustration, I think, and sort of amusement at the fact that she would send me away with these pieces of music, and I'd come back and I would have changed them. I didn't really like what the composer had written. And I was just like, oh, look, I think it's just sort of, you know, sort of like 8-year-old was like, I'm not really sure about that chord. Let's have this chord instead. And so there was a point where she's like, I'm just not sure I'm the right music teacher for you. I mean, maybe you should go off and learn from someone else. And I was fortunate to have the opportunity to do some lessons with Bob Settegrain. And, you know, I didn't sort of pursue jazz piano, you know, as a vocation, but I still carry all of those lessons through all of my music constantly. You know, he's just such a great guy. He was a really good person to introduce me to the world of sort of, you know, music that was a bit freer than what you do in the AMEB courses. And then, you know, from there I just developed through high school and landed a spot at the conservatorium after high school, and again had an opportunity to work with some really good mentors, make some really tremendous friends, and get to the point where I realised how much work it was going to be, you know, even a halfway decent composer. You know, there's that point that you get to where you're like, oh, this, like, it's fun, but it's also, like, proper work. You know, like, there's a lot in it.
Yep.
There's a lot to learn. So, and that's really the path I've been on since, you know.
What you hear on Joy 94.9 is governed by the Community Broadcasting Codes of Practice. The Codes of Practice cover matters relating to all program content, as well as community access and participation in the operation of this service. Copies of the codes are available from the Community Broadcasting Association website, cbaa.org.au.
Sunday Arts Magazine, and we're chatting with Hugh Crossworth, and we're talking about his beautiful album that he's just composed, 16 Lullabies. Right, and it's that, it's real dedication, isn't it? You alone with an instrument or with your mime, you're like writing the music. Well, that's my impression of it. Is that, am I right?
Well, I mean, yeah, like you are, but I'm not sure that it's all that different from a whole range of other jobs.
Okay.
You know, like, I think a lot of people these days spend quite a bit of time chipping away at something. I mean, if you want to, like, I don't know, I kind of feel like if you want to achieve much of anything, you're going to spend quite a bit of time on it. And if it's a project that, and you're driven by your own goals and things, you're probably going to spend quite a bit of time by yourself. But I do think that there's an awful lot of craft and technique in the art, and the only way to learn it is by knuckling under. And I think that, you know, I'd be interested in what your audience thought about the proposition, but I think that that's something that in Australian culture we've never quite got to the point of properly acknowledging, you know, like it's proper work, it's hard work when you do it properly, and, you know, it's valuable work. So, I mean, I've just sort of tried to focus my energies on learning as much as I can, producing as well as I can, you know, always aiming for a very high sort of professional standard in the compositions themselves, you know, like right down in the bones of the art.
And what about, did you go overseas and spend time in Europe as so many people do?
No, I haven't done that. I haven't done that journey yet. I mean, I would quite like to have the opportunity to go across. I expect it'll be quite some time before we can do that.
Yeah, true.
But there are a whole range of opportunities around the world that people take advantage of that would be great to have on the bucket list. I mean, I've always felt that sort of grind work of really studying and just like being really open to the feedback that you get from your musicians and looking at the scores, the great scores, looking at the way that the really great artists produce their music, you know, locally and sort of in the canon, is a fantastic way to build your skills. And that's sort of what I've focused on.
Yeah.
Probably in the last, you know, decade and a half. But at some point, you know, at some point when the time is right and, you know, I feel like it'd be a really valuable activity, it would definitely be wonderful to go across and engage.
Oh, but I don't think you have to. You know, like, I wasn't saying you've got to do it, you know, because the world's so much smaller now that you can go online and follow people so much online. But the fact is that we've got some awesome composers here now, don't we?
Oh, amazing.
In Australia.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, like, and you know, like, and you can be developing yourself, you know, like, you don't have to leave per se anymore.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that cultural element that I was talking about before, I think as an artist it would be very good to experience an alternate view. Yeah. You know, like I talk to my friends who have gone overseas and done things overseas, and I think that the sort of institutional support of what they've dedicated their life to can be really affirming.
Mm.
And that can be, I think, I don't think it's particularly controversial to say that can be a bit of a challenge in Australia. It's just not really the way we sort of see things. But
true.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Do you have any heroes, as in composers? You know, like your top five heroes?
Yeah. Well, it's a tough one. But you know, certainly in the classical repertoire, you know, Stravinsky is a huge hero of mine. I just think his music is so fantastic. All of those early sort of 20th century impressionist fellows are just wonderful. Eric Satie and Debussy and all those guys. But, you know, Rick Rubin is a really big hero of mine.
He's just
an extraordinary guy. You know, his influence on hip hop and metal and the heavy stuff, and just his and when you hear him talk about things, his engagement and his care. You know, he's like you really feel like he's in it. You know, he's a great inspiration. All the way through the different styles. I certainly don't have a favorite style of music, but the punk rockers, I love their attitude. They're a great inspiration. The metal guys, the hip hop guys, there's some local people. There's a great inspiration of mine is one of my good friends, V Belling, who goes by the name Z6. He produced an absolutely extraordinary album, put that out earlier this year. Luke Howard, is just fantastic musician, you know. We're very blessed in Melbourne, I think.
Oh, we are, in all the arts, very blessed. Now, let's start talking about the 16 Lullabies. Why and how did this come about?
Yeah, so lockdown happens and a bunch of my mates lose a bunch of work, and I just thought it was a project that I would really enjoy doing, and it would be an opportunity for me to go out and try and raise some money and just pay some people to do the thing that they're best at whilst producing something that, you know, would be just a pretty thing for people to enjoy at this time. So, I mean, those are the two motivators, really, just a love of the music and a desire to do something proactive to assist the people that that I work with, you know.
And who are your lullabies aimed at? You know, is it for babies? Is it baby lullabies? Is it for adults? Is it who are you aiming for?
Each one is for a specific person. So there are 16 lullabies.
Yeah.
And each one is for a specific person. Part of the fundraising for the project was various of my friends and family said that they would like me to write a piece of music for their young children. There's, I think, five of them are for my nieces and nephews.
Awesome.
Yeah, my little sister.
What a lovely legacy for you to leave for them.
Yeah, well, my little sister has required of me, and I'm not sure that I have any choice in the matter, required of me that I will write a lullaby for her daughter, Bonnie, who is the sweet baby. So that's like the first lullaby. She's a sweet baby lullaby. I'm writing one for every year of her life until her 21st birthday, and we're having a concert. So I've been conscripted. It's like against my will, but happy to do it.
But what a great idea. What a fantastic idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the power of younger sisters, you know?
Okay. But we're going to actually play one of your tracks, Yellow Boots. What's Yellow Boots? Who's that?
Yeah, Yellow Boots is my nephew, Connor. And he's about two, and he's a bit of a menace, you know.
Of course he is.
A bit of a menace. And he's just a very, very gorgeous, bright child. And, you know, is at that stage where we could be over here and we're interested in that. And no, actually, we're not interested in that anymore. Now we're over here and we're interested in that, but not really quite sure for how long. When I was recording it with Stefan, we were trying to find, you know, Stefan Casamanos here, fantastic musician. We're trying to find the arc, the flow of the piece. And we were sort of looking at it globally. And I said to him, it's not really how you look at it. It does have like a sort of a global idea, but really what we're dealing with is these moments of interest, you know. We're dealing with a moment when Connor has his interest in one thing and then he moves off to something else, and the little and the septuplets patter patter away, and that's just the energy, you know. So it's very special. I really like it.
It sounds wonderful, and it sounds like a two-year-old, the terrible twos. Now, my next question was, and you did mention Stefan, who performs the pieces. Mm. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about Stefan. What a guy.
Yeah. Why him, and why collaborate?
Stefan and I have worked on a number of projects together. Monica Curo and Monica's sister Sarah have been huge supporters of mine, great friends. Stefan performed a piano concerto that I wrote in 2016 and a number of works since then. We did a piece of music at the Recital Center early last year. And I mean, he's just a fantastic pianist. He's a very genuine, authentic musician. So you give him a piece of music and he really takes a lot of time and care. I mean, some of this music, like Yellow Boots, is quite challenging as a piece of music. A lot of the music is not very challenging, and if people are interested, they can hop on my website and download a PDF of the scores that they can have a look at and play at home.
Hugh, what is it? What's your website? What's the address?
Oh, it's hughcrossway.com.
Right.
Yeah. So you look at the music, and some of it's not that challenging, but Stefan really... I knew I could trust him to take a lot of time and care. He's one of the people who are in this group of, you know, professional musicians who just lost a lot of work. I really wanted to be able to do something to, support them in a small way if I could.
Brilliant. How can we get our hands on the copy? Or do we download it? It's on all platforms?
Yeah, it's on Bandcamp, and you can have a listen to it on Spotify or Google Play or Deezer or whatever it is that you listen to. Apple Music. If you want to download the MP3s, they're on Bandcamp, so you can find them there. And on my website, there's the scores.
And what's it called again?
16 Lullabies.
It's a lovely title, because all of a sudden you think to yourself, oh, a lullaby. And as you said, it's for this tough time, and it's to help the artists as well.
Yeah, and one thing I should tell people is when they have a look at the cover art, features a painting done by Bonnie, the sweet baby.
Gorgeous.
And I think she's an artistic genius.
And you're her uncle, of course you would.
it's true, but I think that there's something in the composition and the tones and, you know, just the way that it looks that really inspires in me joy, and I hope it does for other people as well, you know, and they have a look at it. I hope it brings them in.
Oh, what wonderful thing to say. Hugh, thank you so much for chatting with us today, and congratulations on... I've had a listen to the album. It's wonderful. It's excellent, and we're going to listen to Yellow Boots. And what's it called again?
16 Lullabies.
16 Lullabies. Okay, see you later. Thank you for talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.